This episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.
Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And we are the worst Thunder fans in Oklahoma City. Thank you so much for joining us for our little podcast. We get called a lot of things, but this is a new one, and we are very grateful to Steve-O for giving us a shout out on his little podcast about us being the worst fans in Oklahoma. Thank you so much, Steve-O. We love you.
Yeah, it's funny and humorous. I wish that he was original, though. Like, we called him the worst fan way back in January and February. In fact, we called him an embarrassment to the Oklahoma City Thunder fan base. But the funny thing is he finally is figuring it out that he is the complete opposite fan that we are, and we're okay with that because he's a major fucking douchebag. So fuck off, Steve-O.
Yeah, I mean, if you think what it takes to be a good fan of the Oklahoma City Thunder is to cheer for the team losing every day, I mean, then that's fine. You and your little party can rub poop all over your face and walk around in public and act like that's normal. But I'm not going to have anything to do with it, and none of us are. So we appreciate the fact that you still remember us, because a little while ago we were nobody, and now you can't stop thinking about us.
Either we're your wet dream or your worst nightmare. Either way, I'm going to wear that like a fucking badge. But we could talk on Steve-O and how much we seriously dislike this douchebag, but the reality is that he's never going to change, and neither are we. We're going to continue our shit-talking, and that is why Steve-O is one of eight, and we are one of two. So the reality is that our show kicks ass. I mean, if you want to look at our rankings, you can say, you know, whatever you want to say about Steve, but the reality is he's been ranked one time this year. One time this year. That's it. We've been ranked mostly the entire year. So the reality is for him, he's still behind. He's still going to try to play catch up, and he's still going to try to diss us about us being bad fans because he is still clueless about the game of basketball. If he understood even a smidgen of basketball, then he would have understood what we were talking about. But I, you know, this guy, good riddance to him and his family. We peace out with him, and we're going to talk about what we got going on today. We're going to be talking and breaking down a couple things. First of all, where is the next idea of Al going, and our next player on the board? Mark, who are we going to be talking about today?
Yeah, man, I'm going to say his name wrong, but I'm going to do my best. It's Usman Garuba, and he is out of Real Madrid. At this point, he has been playing professionally since I think since he was around 11 years old, or at least that's when he began to attend the Real Madrid Academy. He has been an excellent player. He's got a lot of really good skills that we're really pumped up about talking about, and we think that he's going to be a good player in the NBA. The factors that we think play well into him potentially being a target, especially if he falls to that 18 range that we're going to have a pick. The question is, you know, will he? And if he does, you know, what type of player would we get? And one of the things, like I said, that we like about him is the fact that he's 19 years old, and he will be 19 until March.
Yeah, and one of the things I do when I break down players is I break them down by the groups. Out of the teen players, so that's 13 through 19, that are ranked in the ESPN, I feel like Gruba ranks as what I would call and consider the best chance to stay in the NBA for 15 years, or even 12 plus years, put it like that. He has a very unique way of playing. His motor is elite. I watched Draymond Green playing for Michigan State when he did that. Mark and I discussed about what who he feels like he plays like, just like any other scout would in the NBA. Who is your comparison to that player? And Mark had a really good comparison, but to me, I feel like he is a Draymond Green 2.0. The way that he is able to control the game, he's undersized power forward at 6'8". 6'8" is a a typical power forward, I guess, but he has this unique way of playing that really captures your eye. He really reminds me of this talented young Draymond Green, except he has a better nose for playing and shooting the ball right now. Draymond Green obviously is a great player, but only averaging 10-12 points a game isn't going to cut it in the NBA nowadays. But that is why I believe that he, Usman, could be in the NBA for a very long time. He is still developing his shot, and there's more things I want to break down, but I want to push it right back to Mark right now because I know he has something to say about him.
Yeah, so like you said, he's 6'8", but one thing that's really nice about his size is that he has a 7'3" wingspan, so it's deceptive. He gets up very quickly, so he reminds me a lot of like a Serge Ibaka shot blocker. Really can compete on the defensive end and takes pride in his ability to alter the offense's game plan. And he's someone that blocks shots in a way that I really haven't ever seen happen before in the EuroLeague. That's something that, you know, might happen more likely in college basketball here in the States or in the NBA, but he has, he gets up so quickly, so he's got that ability. But because he's spent so much time playing in Europe, he's not just a shot blocker. He doesn't just play under the rim. He's got a lot of skills that seem like they're going to translate well into the NBA. He shot a little over 30% from three-point range, but that's something that's a good sign. Some people would look at it and say that's not good enough, but at his age, and he spent, you know, playing 18 years old at the second highest level of basketball in the world, I think that really speaks to potential, and his game really does look more like a European style player. He can attack the basket from the perimeter, and he shoots the ball confidently. You've got to be able to hit that corner three. You've got to be able to catch and shoot in rotation in Europe if you're going to be able to play, and he does all those things really well. It's a comp. You know, Dave mentioned Draymond Green. I've already mentioned Serge Ibaka. The thing about it is both those guys represent different factors to his game, not necessarily what we think he'll play like. So he's got the hustle like Draymond Green and that extra effort. He's got the shot blocking of Serge Ibaka. But when he goes into the post, he's got a little Hakeem Olajuwon to him. He's got the ability to get people on their heels and then get them to jump. And then when they jump, take advantage of their mistakes. So he's not just an overpowerer. I had a chance to spend some time with Hakeem, and one thing about Hakeem is he's not as big as a lot of the other guys that were 7 foot. So he was listed at 7 foot most of his career, but most people who spent any time with him, you know, they know he was more like a 6'9", 6'10" guy than a 7 footer. And he just played like a 7 footer. He dominated a league full of 7 footers. So it makes sense to look at him and think, well, of course he's a 7 footer, but he's not. And here we're talking about Usman, and I really believe he is, he plays the game like a modern big man. In that way, he's sort of like Bam Adebayo from Miami, played at UK. I mean, this is like the type of thing, if Usman went and played in college and he played at played as well as he's playing in Europe, which I think Europe is a higher level than college. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that, especially when you're talking about the level that Real Madrid is at. If he was doing that in college, everybody would be like, oh, this is a top five pick. This is a surefire, the next Bam. And he's got a better three-point shot than Bam. He's got some of those same offensive skills. And we already talked about his defensive ability. So it's pretty substantial. This guy, I just took a look since we've been on here, a mock draft. They had him listed at like 28. I'm thinking this guy, if we could get him at 18, that would be a steal. I really do think he's got a lot of ability. I think it's kind of disrespectful to put him that far back simply because he played in Europe. I mean, this guy's got a lot of ability.
Yeah, Mark, you're absolutely right. Whether we have an opportunity to trade up to 28 or if we have the opportunity to pick him up at 18 because he continues to rise up that draft board. Let's just talk about why I compared him to Draymond Green. That way you guys can get a better understanding exactly where I come from there. And then I'll tell you the other things that I really, really like about his game and how it compares to what the, like Mark said, the modern NBA and what it's changing and what it's going to be like. First of all, Draymond Green is one of those guys that he's not depend, or they don't depend on him scoring a lot, but he can score as a role man. He's a very good role man scorer when he's when they're asking him to do it. Yuzman is the same way. He is a great role scorer. If you look at the way they don't depend on him to have the ball in his hands at all times, they're not depending on him to create every single time down court like a LeBron James or like an SGA. These are the type of players that when they come down the court, that the team stops to see what they're going to do, and then they make decisions on how to go around. Now, that is why he's a very valuable asset, is because he's not going to take the ball away from SGA. He's not going to take away from hopefully our top five pick as a scorer, the ball away from them either. What he's going to do is he's going to create issues for everybody else around. And you can't let your eye go. Now, Draymond Green is a great cutter for a power forward. He understands how to get to the hole very, very quickly when the defense is turned. Yuzman does the same exact thing. His defender will stop and they'll turn his head, and the second they turn his head, he cuts backdoor and he gets a lot of dunks this way. Draymond Green gets a lot of layups. The other thing I love about the way he plays is he gets a lot of tips off of his miss or one of his guys' misses, and it's one-handed tip. It looks a lot like Draymond's. The way that he attacks the closeout like Draymond does is Draymond realizes that there's a lot of guys with slower feet than him. So when they're closing out, he'll attack them, and he always gets them back on their feet, and he gets by them, gets an and one, or gets to the foul line. This is what Yuzman does very, very well, just like him. And I love the way that he handles the rock. Now, Draymond Green does handle the ball, and he handles very, very well. So I feel like that's something, again, that these guys share in common. And the one thing that I love about him, just like Draymond does, is he attacks the rim like his life depends on it. Those are great things, and those are massive things that I feel like would be a huge asset right away in the NBA. And whatever team he ends up going to, he's going to make a major impact immediately. Let's talk about the other things I like about his game. He is one of the best pick and roll big men in the league, or in the league in the draft this year. I would even say that he's probably the best pick and roll big man in the draft as a power forward or center. The way that he is able to set screens and understands how to roll to the basket is very elite for this draft. Also, I want to throw this out there, is the way that he is able to get offensive rebounds is probably the best in the draft as well. You know, being a big offensive rebounder is a way to keep your job in the NBA. Look at Moses Brown. He's always getting a ton of offensive rebounds when he's in the game and he's having a good game. This is why I feel like this guy is going to continue to make differences in the game. Yuzman is one of those guys that understands how to get offensive rebounds. His motor and his energy are elite. I cannot tell you, the way he gets up court, the way that he does these things, and his motor reminds me of Draymond Green through and through. He is a motherfucker at getting offensive rebounds, like I just said, but we're talking, this is an elite level, the way he does, the way he rips the ball away from guys, the way he gets in there. It reminds me a lot of like Kenny Hustle. He watches the ball come out. It's like he watches his offensive guys take shots during practice so that he has a better understanding of where the ball is going to go. It is truly amazing to see what he's able to do. And like Mark said earlier, his post game is great. Let me up a game one mark here, is because I've seen a lot of post guys come through the league. I've seen a lot of power forwards and centers, and watching their post moves is always difficult. They're rusty. They're a project to see. And you can tell that this young man has been playing professional for a very long time, because his post moves are in a way that I would consider polished, probably the best polished in maybe 5-6 years of drafts. I mean, this guy has a post game that if DeAndre Ayton or any of these guys that had coming into the league, if they had a piece of what he has and the knowledge that he has and the different moves I've seen him do, the Hondo move, I mean, I could go down the list of the moves I've seen him do, and it's like, okay, this guy understands not just a little bit about the game, but a massive IQ about this game. And to me, that is why I would have no problem at all trading a pick or even a guy to get that spot to be able to pick up the this young man, I think he's going to be one of those guys that we're going to look back and say, we had an opportunity to get him at 18 if we don't get him, and we didn't. That was a big mistake, because this is one of those guys that I still feel like I said, he's going to go in the teens, and he's going to have a very long career in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to say about him, and obviously if he had chosen a different route and he had gone to college here in the States to play basketball, we would know a lot more about him. And because we don't know a lot about him, and you know, that automatically means that we're going to put a star next to his name as a potential steal in the draft. And Sam Presti's always looking for good value, so that's a great place to start.
And the other thing you got to look at too is Sam Presti had a significant amount of time to watch him play, because he played for Real Madrid with Gabriel Deck. There's no way in the world that Sam Presti wouldn't have made the trade that he did to get Gabriel Deck from the 76ers unless he did his research on him, meaning he watched Usman play a lot. So I don't know if that means that the Oklahoma City Thunder have a better knowledge of this young man, or if this is going to actually be one of those things that they had enough knowledge of him and they're going to pass on him because they have too much knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, I think with his age, with the unknown factors, and just the fact that he plays that the center position the way that modern players play it, and that's, you know, can handle on the perimeter, can dribble up the court, can shoot the three, and he can protect the rim. I think that he's, you know, going to be an outstanding player in the NBA for a very long time. He's got all that going for him, and he's still young. That's exceptional. So I'm really pumped up about him. Either way, I'm looking forward to watching him play in the NBA. I think he's got a lot of talent and skills.
Absolutely. It will be fun to watch him mature. And again, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what type of trades are going to happen. We don't know if Sam has a diabolical plan to trade up and get as many more first-round draft picks as he can. I hope he does. This is the draft to do it. Also, there is going to be a lot of second-round draft picks that are going to be passed up. That are typically a first-round draft pick. And Usman could be one of those guys. He could just drop in the draft, similar to what Theo Maledon did. And honestly, to me, it doesn't matter. Like, this isn't an opportunity to pick up a player that's going to be in the NBA for a while. And he is somebody that, as the draft comes closer, you know, we will be breaking it down, because we'll know exactly where our draft picks are going to be sitting. And he is always going to be on our radar to see where he's going to go.
Yeah, we're going to find out what pick we're getting in about 2 weeks from tomorrow, or I guess 2 weeks from today by the time this is playing for everybody. So 2 weeks away from really having an idea. And as we approach that date, we're going to be pumped, because we're looking forward to actually talking about the elite players, the top end of this draft, with an actual idea of where we'll be picking. We may have already talked about the player that we're going to get. And on the other end, there's a chance that, you know, we haven't got there yet. So we're going to keep going 2 weeks away from the lottery. And then from there, we're going to be about a month away from the draft. A lot to learn, and we're having a lot of fun doing it. One thing that we've been talking about on a daily basis recently is the potential landing places for Al Horford, and what we're looking forward to at this point is a potential reunion between Al and Billy Donovan.
Yeah, and the reason we're going to bring this up is it almost happened back when KD left the Thunder. He was potentially coming to the Thunder. It was something that he said on his the opening interview, or one of his interviews that he's talked about, is that he was definitely considering coming to the Oklahoma City Thunder and most likely would have signed with them if it wasn't for KD leaving. To me, that is something that we have to look at, and we have to be able to say, okay, if he wants to go and have a reunion with his coach, this is a perfect opportunity for that. Donovan needs somebody that is understanding of way he goes about doing things. Zach LaVine has had some issues with him. I look at it like this, is that Coach Donovan is just one of those guys. He's old school. So is there a place for Al here? And the question is, yes. Will Al decide to go back and play for Donovan? I don't know. But it is something that, looking at the relationship that they had and winning the championships they did with Florida, you have to consider and have to say there is a huge possibility. What could we take back from them? They have some valuable assets. Nothing in the even same stratosphere as Al Horford would be, but they do have some guys that would be able to come in and be able to make a difference right away and be able to be impactful as far as being a leader in that locker room. To me, there's enough money here that the Chicago Bulls have, and we're not going to even take down Zach LaVine or Nokolo, whatever the fuck his name is. I don't care. But the reason is Vucevic and Thaddeus Young, those are the guys that have really clicked with this Chicago team. So there's other players here, and there's enough money that they have that we would be helping them out by clearing some of their big cap space, and then we would be giving them Al, where they would have a full year of a trial run to see if it would work with Al, and if it doesn't, then they can move on. Obviously, we wouldn't expect any picks at this point from Chicago, but we would expect at least one young asset, and they've got a couple really good young assets that I would consider in circle.
Yeah, I mean, when you first brought this up, I was hesitant. I didn't think that Vucevic and Al Horford would, you know, fit in the front court well together. But then again, I started thinking about it, and I was like, you know, and when Billy Donovan was in Florida and Al Horford was there, he played the power forward, and Joakim Noah played the center. So maybe there is room for both of them in that front court. Obviously, they have some young players that they've wanted to get playing time and they want to develop in those positions. So there's a question mark there. But one thing I noticed with Billy Donovan was he was willing to bench Coby White to try to get some wins. He was willing to bench really their future to try to get wins. That's something we saw him do with the Thunder. He cares about every win, and development comes secondary. Look, that sounds very critical, but you know, when you're an NBA coach, teaching your team to win is the most important thing. So, you know, at certain points you got to do that. But, you know, a player like, you know, a lottery pick, like, you know, benching those players, that's always a difficult thing to do. You can get yourself into trouble that way. I'm not sure if he's got the right disposition for a team like Chicago. That's something that we're going to have to find out. But I do think that he would like it to get Al Horford back. They think that that team is a playoff team. I do not think that team is a playoff team. But for some reason, they do. And Al Horford could be the player that would take them to the playoffs. I think that's, you know, it's been proven that he's capable of helping teams win. And maybe he could do that. So, you know, good call on that one. I think that that reunion makes a lot of sense. If there wasn't a Billy Donovan situation, like where he was the coach there, I don't know that I would ever really consider Chicago as being an option. But with Billy Donovan there, this desire to make the playoffs, and the fact that there's only a year and a half of contract left with Al Horford means there, you know, that that could happen for sure.
Yeah, speculation. That's all it is. It's all looking at relationships that he has with assistant coaches and coaches. Family relations, where his family's at on the board, on the map. So, you know, that's what we're doing. Obviously, you can disagree, and we're all understanding that we have a lot of people that disagree with what we're saying. But the reality is, that's what we do. We like to look and break down teams that are possibilities. In the coming up days, we're going to probably talk about some of the teams that have what we call bad money on their contracts, that have maybe late draft picks. You know, 25 through 30 that will be looking at offloading some money to clear space for the offseason. We're going to pull some of those contracts up to see if there's anything that the Oklahoma City Thunder could help them do to relieve them of those players and maybe snag a nice little 20-something draft pick in return.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the one of the best parts about not being, you know, in this full-blown win-now mode and the way that we've been able to build so many draft picks and stay under the tax so well is that when these players that come up that are on bad contracts and teams are trying to offload them, and they're offering first round picks for teams that will take on that money, we can participate in those deals. It seems like every trade deadline, there's a buyout or something going on. This last trade deadline, it wasn't really action packed, but in previous trade deadlines, it just seems like every single trade deadline, there is somebody who's paying a first round pick to take on bad money. Sometimes it happens in the summer too. And we're looking forward to being a part of those types of deals. Those are really important deals to be a part of. And hopefully if we do it right, we can continue to be a part of those deals long after we compete. Once we get to that point where we're competing for a championship, if you can still take on bad money because you've built your team in a way where you can do that, then you can continue to replenish that talent pool even when your draft picks aren't very good. We weren't able to do it, and I know that was something that we wish we could be, because those were some picks that were being given out for dead money for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Really, for the last 2 decades, it feels like it's been a habit of teams to get underneath the tax by giving away first round picks. And we can help teams out with that because of our financial flexibility.
Yeah, that's all it is. I mean, look at what Sam has done. Look at the trade exemptions that he has created so that he could take what we call dead money back. Draft pick for $20-something million in salary to a player that could help the team out once they learn the system and once they have a chance to develop into the system that we want them. And I feel like that's what the Oklahoma City Thunder can offer teams, and especially teams that are really, like I said, 25 through 30. Those are the teams that are competing for championships, that are always trying to say, hey, we need somebody to take our draft pick so that we can offload this money and create a possible chance to sign somebody like Chris Paul, or somebody that is coming off the books and looking for another trade that they're saying, hey, we need somebody to take some of this dead money so that we can pull in Carl Anthony Towns. It doesn't matter. There's so many different possibilities out there of things that could happen. And every year, we're always surprised by a trade. We're always surprised by, like Mark said, a trade for a team that's literally saying, hey, listen, we want a second rounder and dead money. And that's it. To me, that's what the Thunder have an opportunity to do. And that's why we're going to push this and we're going to really dissect this, because in the long run, we could pick up a couple extra draft picks because we have a lot of space there. And I don't know. We don't know what we're going to do. But the reality is, it will be fun to be able to watch to see what happens.
Yeah, we've got enough time. We can talk about some way to make a deal with every team, and then that way we'll make sure we get one of them right. So we're looking forward to it, man. We're having a hell of a lot of fun with this. It's been awesome to share the research that we've been around. We've had a chance to watch a lot of great NBA players, come up and, be, in high school and college. And, it's something that we've been around for all of our lives. We are not experts by any means, but we do appreciate really good basketball. We love watching the Thunder, and we both were coaches, so we've got a little experience in this, but like I said, we're not experts. We're just throwing out our opinion and hoping that other people appreciate it. That's all we're trying to do.
Yeah, Mark, I'm really, really glad that you brought that up. I know that people will talk about us being so-called experts. We never claim that. We just know that we've watched the game and we have a very unique way of expressing what we see and how we see it. And some people think that's valuable. Other people think it's straight up trash. And to me, those people that think it's straight up trash, I'm cool with that. I get that. But there's too many people that listen to us in Oklahoma City right now. There's too many individual downloads from devices right now going on, that there's no way that we're going to be silenced and shut up. And this is why we're going to continue for the push. That's why we're going to continue to stay here. And that is why we've continued to give away Top Shot moments. So if you have a Top Shot moment that is a favorite moment of the Oklahoma City Thunder, please reach out. We would love to be able to try to get that moment for you. If we can't get that moment, we have a lot of other moments that we can gift out right now that we would like to start doing. So please contact us. Let us know that you're listening, and we'll make sure to get that to you guys.
Yeah, man, we're just two badass Thunder fans trying to cheer on our team, and we don't really give a shit what anybody else says about us, because let's face it, They're the ones cheering for the Thunder to lose so they can go fuck themselves, and that's what we have to say about that. So once again, we appreciate you taking the time to join us for The Last Storm. We've had a blast. It's been an amazing time, and we're looking forward to coming back tomorrow. We've got a couple more players to talk about before we're going to start and kind of shake it up and start working our way from the back of the draft toward the front, at least the mock drafts anyway. So we've been working on trying to focus on players that will be 19 for most of the year. We've mixed in some other players, but in the end, we've been trying to keep it young. But going forward, after a few days of a few more days of this, we're gonna look at every player. So if you've got a player that's your favorite player, let us know. We'd love to jump in and figure out what we can project about that. I mean, like, we're not great at it, but we have a lot of fun. I mean, when somebody says, check out this player, you know, we think they're going to be good, and we watch some video, it's great because we never forget the person who mentioned the first time, like, oh yeah, you got to check this out. And that's meaningful to us. So we appreciate that whenever anybody recommends that we check out a player.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it, man. Chencho is really good about that. He has consistently told us about players playing there for Real Madrid or other Spanish league teams. So please continue to do that, Chencho. We really appreciate it. We definitely value your the way that you're able to break down film and the way you're able to watch sports. And we just really appreciate you being our friend during this time. So keep up the good work, guys. And we will be back tomorrow. Just as a reminder, this episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.